As we turn to God's word, let's pray. Father, as we look at what it means to be God's people, to be your people, just seal the truths of your word on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes we wait years for something to happen. We expect it to happen much sooner, but it never seems to happen. The immediate things I think of are sporting events. Perhaps for those of you, as most of you are, who are New South Wales supporters, for New South Wales to win State of Origin when Queensland won 8 years in a row. For me, waiting 16 years for England to win the Ashes. I knew it had to happen eventually, but it was so frustrating. Or longer still, waiting 30 years for Liverpool to win the Soccer Premier League, which finally this week happened. And what made that wait longer and particularly frustrating was I grew up when Liverpool won league titles most years. They dominated. They expected to win it every year and did so more often than not. So waiting 30 years for them to win was just frustrating. And just at this moment, I'm just thinking they're finally back where they should be. Well, in the part of 1 Peter that we've read today, there's every justification to say finally, because after 1,000 years, God actually has a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that he first said he'd make his people into back in Exodus when the Israelites came out of Egypt. And the reason that his people have been transformed is because Jesus has come. And that's where Peter turns at the start of the passage. If we look at verse 4, it reads, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Having just been told to desire to know God better, Peter speaks of what happens as his hearers come to Jesus. As they come to Jesus, they're being built together to be a spiritual house. That's what should be the case for all Christians. We should, as the local church, be being built together to be a house where God's Spirit dwells. As Christians, we should be joining together with God's people, gathering when we can, but uniting as his church, as a united people around Jesus. Even when we struggle to physically gather together, as at the moment, we still have relationship with each other. One of the really encouraging things that's happened during this crisis is how much people have cared, have sought to look after others. Through the crisis, keeping in contact, making sure they give others a ring, stop them being lonely. Because what Peter emphasizes is we're not Christians separately, but together. The Being a Christian is coming into a family that worship God together. One of the pictures in Revelation 5 is every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Following Jesus is not something we do alone. Worshipping God and living out our lives should unite us around him. While we're individuals and we make individual choices to follow Jesus, living for him is something that's done in community. It's done together. The individual choices to live for him should mean that we're a part of God's people, because choices to live for Jesus are choices to be a part of his people. Our choices should bind us together with all his people, and especially those that we fellowship with, so we can encourage each other in our relationship with Jesus and grow together. Now, on this earth, that's not always easy. Peter talks about spiritual sacrifices. And being a Christian costs time, it costs money. And even more than those two, it changes how we relate to others and who we make the effort to relate to. Not all Christians are easy to get on with. Some may irritate, even annoy us. But we don't pick family. We have to learn to relate to them, because Jesus is central and it's his family. It's due to him that we're welcomed into a new family. A family that are God's people. And we have to get to know and love them. Love our brothers and sisters in Jesus. It comes out of that unity that because we have a common purpose in living for Jesus, we become the place God's Spirit dwells. Peter goes on to talk about Jesus being the permanent stone, the rock on which we can trust. But starts by saying that Jesus is that rock, but out of it we grow together to be a temple, to be a spiritual temple for God. So, if we go to verse 6, it says, "For in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." The emphasis of the cornerstone, that it's the most important stone in the building, the first laid stone that everything is built on. If it's bad, then the whole building's unsafe. It's supposed to be a permanent stone that lasts forever, that can be relied on. And the pandemic's brought home how much we need things we can rely on. Much of the things that we took for granted have been stripped away. Church services, we haven't been able to meet together as a full gathering for 3 months. Less importantly, but part of the fabric of our country, sporting events stopped. Even now, they can't have crowds at them. At one stage, we could not even go out for a meal and were told to almost avoid going out. Even now in Victoria, you're only allowed 5 people visiting a home. And elsewhere around the world, freedoms people took for granted were stopped also, and the restrictions were even more intense. Things we thought we could rely on, always being the case, were removed. Except the one permanent rock that is Jesus. And God says that we can trust Jesus, and that trust means we'll never be put to shame. That is, ultimately, we'll be vindicated for our faith in him. God will come to our aid and look after us. When Daniel's 3 friends were cast in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3, a 4th person turned up and protected them from the heat. From the description and comparing it to that in Revelation, it was Jesus. The three friends stood for their job and he vindicated them by turning up and protecting them. Obviously, it's not always as obvious as that. Christians have often died for their faith, but God has demonstrated through them that their faith in Jesus is of greater worth than life. And we, in the much lesser challenges of everyday life, can expect God to vindicate, to look after us. We can rely on him to protect us and show the worth of our faith. Peter goes on to press the permanence of our trust, of our decision to follow Jesus. Verse 7 in our version reads, "Now to you who believe, this stone is precious." It's perhaps better translated in the ESV, where it says, "So the honor is for you who believe." Peter's continuing the previous thought that we'll be recognized as the people of God and receive the honor that goes with that. Peter's saying, our faith is something that will be shown for what it's worth, and it's worth a lot. Peter continues, "But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." Peter speaks of Jesus being rejected and like a stone that causes people to fall. In Australia, there have been some court cases about paving stones that are not aligned perfectly and have caused people to trip and fall. The only 2 cases I found, the court ruled in favour of the defendant. Who would have been held responsible otherwise? The court said that they were not guilty. People complained, but they got nothing. And Jesus, the living stone, was both rejected by the Jewish leaders, causing them to reject God as their king. But he's also rejected by some people today. He causes people to stumble and fall, to reject the God of the universe. It's not a comfortable truth, but Scripture clearly teaches that some people will reject Jesus. They will not accept and respond to the good news about him and will be judged for it. If they don't want to know Jesus and be a part of the people of God, if they reject the Son of God, They reject God's most costly provision for them and will lose all that God provides. Either we accept that Jesus died for us in our place, and that we live with him in our new lives now, responding as members of God's people, or we don't. There's no halfway house on this. Either we become part of God's family, or we'll experience eternity separate from his provision for us. And in knowing Jesus, we commit ourselves to become part of God's family. If we look at verse 9 together, it reads, "But you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Choosing to follow Jesus joins us together as God's people. We belong to him. We represent him. That's who we are. This passage is partly based on the Old Testament reading from Exodus 19, where God promises his people that if they obey him, he will make them into a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special possession. And while they said they were prepared to obey him, when he actually turned up to speak with them in Exodus 20, they were terrified. They rejected hearing his voice, asked him to speak to Moses so Moses could convey his messages to them. They put Moses between themselves and God. Rather than choose to be priests, learn to hear God's voice, they asked Moses to act as such for them. A priest is a representative of God who goes between the people and God, who has relationship with God, and they rejected that relationship. In effect, they rejected becoming priests. But God did not make that offer to no purpose. He was aware of the Israelites' hearts in Exodus and that most would reject him. But even then, through Jesus, he planned to make all of his people into his likeness, to be priests, representing him to each other and to the world. Being a priest is about being a member of God's people, of his family, and therefore representing him to this world, but especially among his people, so that we're encouraged in our pursuit of Jesus, and as such, we're all priests, because we should represent God to each other. I was talking to someone from another town recently, and she told me how with their grandchildren, when they visited at dinner time, they'd actually talk to the grandchildren first and ask them to sort out between themselves who'd say grace. And the grandchildren would come back and say, "Is it okay if we have three graces?" Because they all wanted to say it. Now, this isn't because she and her husband can't say grace. The father actually conducts religious services occasionally. But they're encouraging their grandchildren to grow up in confident relationship with God, to be priests, to have confidence in representing God and speaking to him. And this is an example for all of us. It's easy to just look to the pastor of a church as the one anointed person. And pastors do have a particular role. in a church, there are things that the pastor tends to do. But ministering and representing God to each other and the world is something we should all share. It's a mission for all of us, because we're all God's people. We're all a royal priesthood. And Peter goes on to say why we should share in this together. In verse 10, he says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Previously, we weren't united. Previously, we didn't know God. We didn't know his mercy. But because of Jesus, we've been brought into God's family. Because of the price Jesus paid on the cross for us, we united together as one family. God's created us into a people that's special to him. He's granted us mercy, so we'll live with him eternally. But surely, if God grants us mercy, we need together to represent that mercy to each other and to those around us, to represent what God and his kingdom stands for, the kingdom we so want to enter. So let's commit to representing God's kingdom to each other, to this world, to representing his mercy to each other and to the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've been given your mercy, that we've been welcomed into your family. Just help us to understand that more and more, to get to know you better, and to represent you and your mercy to all those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.